Remember when that was a very popular thing?
Betty Ford, remember her going in for the drug addiction?
Yeah.
That was a big deal. I was proud of her. She handled that like a classy lady.
I bet there's a lot of them. You know, way back when, I bet Washington's wife was sipping that opium more than she wasn't. I mean, geez. Well, it was opium back in those days.
I always tell people, you know where the original methamphetamine addictions were?
Mm.
Middle American housewives
trying to get all the job done. Yeah, trying to get everything done.
Methamphetamine came back from World War II, and it was housewives that became addicted.
Oh, and they just became super housewives.
All they had to do was say they were depressed back then, and the doctor would say, "Here, try this. It works on everybody."
God love it. Got all my laundry done today. I'm feeling good. Hey.
They'd call back and say, "Yeah, right. I feel great.
I need some more.
But I need some more right away."
Yeah. Well, to come down from that, you know, it's become a really awful drug now.
Yeah.
But anyway, at least Herman Cain, he seems pretty clean, squeaky clean. Okay, so we'll see.
I've been
see.
Trying to get an interview, you know, for this show.
Well, I'm waiting.
What do you think my chances are?
Well, I think if you really press, if you really persevere...
I've been trying
to
appeal to him by saying, you know what?
I saw a picture of Herman Cain with another local show host.
Yeah.
Get on it.
He did this. He did 2 hours on Saturday. That's where he started in radio.
Well, invite him to our 2 hours on Saturday.
I said, we know we're doing
that
the
is
same
our connection.
Thing you were doing.
That's the connection right there. We're doing the same thing you're doing, Herman. Come on, Herman.
And
throw us a bone.
Remember, before I didn't have much hope because they had Republicans were freezing out in Nevada, but now they're not. They've given up on that. And
well, what you have to do is check out his schedule, find out when he's coming this way, and just do it, JP. Right. Just do it.
Okay. Do I get to do that interview?
You do. Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. I will grant you. I can sit over here, though, right? I mean, I can interrupt every now and then.
I want you to interrupt.
You know me. I'm good at that.
You know people are listening for your voice, not mine.
We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us on Broadview. See, I told you, I'm kind of, you know, my brain is not happening today.
It's been an exciting week for
you. Yes, we're going to get to some more stuff. Thanks for joining us right here on Broadview.
1270, The Buzz. The Buzz.
Tune in Saturday at 10 a.m. to the Car Buyer Advisor. At one time in our lives, we've all heard of someone that had a really bad experience having something to do with an automotive product, service, or a dealer. Your money is your power. We want you to start supporting only the highest quality businesses. We recognize what has been missing is a trusted source for this information, and you have one now. Each week, we introduce you to the finest local automotive businesses we know of. This week, we'll be talking to Rick and Michelle Anderson from Nevada Mobile Automotive Service, Brandon and Ava Games, Novus Glass, the windshield repair experts, Mike Shula, Performance Coatings Auto Body, Jay Hubbard, National Automobile Museum, dedicated to connecting you with the industry's finest local automotive products, services, and advice. That's the Car Buyer Advisor, your first place to turn for everything automotive, every Saturday at 10 a.m. only on 1270 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Broadview, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Jay Davis.
And we are back for this Saturday on Broadview, giving you a little light and a dark side of everything.
You're the light
Broadview,
on the dark, right?
Exactly. That's JP over there with me, my co-host. And we were talking about the Herman Cain thing. I'm going to switch gears a little bit because did you hear about the sergeant... Sergeant Lewis McCord, an Army staff sergeant accused of leading a rogue kill squad. He's charged with murdering three Afghan civilians. He took the stand on Friday during his court-martial and denied carrying out any of the killings. Now, he did admit to cutting off some fingers.
What?
Yes. Can you believe it? I mean,
why did he do that?
Well, it's a high-strung thing. I mean, all of a sudden you're on a killing squad, you're on a mission... You're in Afghanistan? I don't know. I mean, I'm not forgiving him for it. Whoa.
You know, isn't that what the Japanese gangsters do, is cut off fingers?
I really don't know. Is that what they do? I thought that was New York gangsters.
Every time you do something wrong, they cut off a joint.
Oh, that's cement boots. Whew. Staff Sergeant Calvin Gibbs' surprise testimony came a week after his court-martial began. It's the first time Gibbs has publicly presented his version of what happened with the platoon that he led from the Army's 5th Striker Brigade. He's the highest-ranking soldier. He's charged in what prosecutors say was a rogue kill squad. Calvin Gibbs, Sergeant, Staff. Oh, yeah, this is from Lewis McCord, the Army Staff Sergeant. He's the highest-ranking soldier charged in the allegations. He's pled not guilty. 12 soldiers have been charged in the case. Three have pleaded guilty to murders and agreed to testify against their fellow soldiers. Another six have been convicted of lesser crimes. There's always that deal.
Yeah.
Those deals being made. And the one that holds out is the one who goes the longest.
Generally, these military trials, they anger me because I think, why is the government going after the guys over there putting their lives
in? Well, they put them there. They put them with the guns, and then they say, okay, you can do this, but you can't do that.
But it's pretty hard to defend somebody going around cutting off fingers of civilians.
Well, you're not supposed to even deal with the civilians. I mean, you're not supposed to be killing civilians, right? Mm. I mean, isn't that part of the code?
The motto over there is supposed to be, remember, winning hearts and minds.
Yeah. Besides the murders, Gibbs also has been charged with removing body parts.
What does that mean?
From his alleged victims, such as teeth.
Oh, after they're dead?
Teeth, mm-hmm. Fingers.
This is after they're dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
that's different.
I guess. I mean, I hope.
So is that what he was admitting, that he was taking them off dead bodies?
Yes.
Well, that's different.
Keeping them as souvenirs.
I mean, that's still not cool, but...
Keeping them as souvenirs.
All right.
Planting drop weapons to fake attacks on soldiers, intimidating several of his own unit members to prevent them from speaking out against the unit's alleged murder plots.
Intimidated by a guy with a necklace full of fingers.
And rampant drug use. Well, there's something wrong with him.
No kidding.
Having already served a tour in Iraq, Gibbs was on his second tour in Afghanistan when he took over the brigade's third platoon. His previous leader lost a leg in a roadside bombing, an attack that Gibbs said adversely affected his morale.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been in the truck that day. He testified. He testified Friday about telling soldiers serving under him in Afghanistan how he lit up a car coming towards him in Iraq while he was manning a nighttime checkpoint. Inside the car was an unarmed Iraqi family. The defendant himself insisted Friday that he never murdered civilians in Afghanistan, although his fellow soldiers are saying he did.
He just sounds like he became a little bit unscrewed, you know, and
that's a trial I don't want to be on.
We should be prosecuting our soldiers who have breakdowns of any type in a war zone. I just think that's improper.
Well, I think now I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I think is gone awry, is the fact that life is making everybody crazy. It's making people mad. Then you send them over to kill, and instead of bringing them home before all this goes on, you know, I'm sure there's a buddy program where you don't tell. It's the same thing with the cops, right? You don't tell, even though that's coming around again. You see something like that going on. What are you going to do? You know, go to your commander and say, oh my God, he's stealing fingers.
He's off balance. He needs to be relieved.
But somebody does need to be looking at these things, you know, bring him back home, get him some help before this happens. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff, huh?
Stop prosecuting him, though, for crying out loud.
Oh, for crying out loud.
He's on his second tour. You've got him in a place where he's never not on the front line, because everybody's on the front line.
Someone's got to be held responsible for killing
civilians. Now you spilled your coffee. Look at you.
Don't tell everybody.
You are having a rough week.
Don't tell everybody.
Okay, she did not just spill her coffee all over her papers.
You don't know that? Didn't go on my dress. That's an important thing.
You know, in World War II, according to my father, they had this down to a science, that a man could only be at the front for 70 days, and after that, no matter who he was, he started to come unglued a little bit. So they kept trying to rotate people out. But sometimes, you know, like in the Battle of the Bulge, they had to have everybody involved, so you couldn't rotate people out after 70 days.
What do you think's happened with that? I mean,
is there anyone
kind of keeping an eye on our soldiers?
The trouble is, in World War II, there was a front line, and you could go to the rear for a few days and recuperate your mental health. But if you're sitting on one of these isolated bases in Afghanistan, you're always on the front line.
Yeah, you are. You're always.
Somebody's always. You're looking for snipers every time you walk out of your tent.
Can you imagine living like that? I mean, I've seen it in the movie so many times. I cannot imagine living like that.
Don't prosecute the guy. Just send him home and help him. Okay, there, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
You know what? I'm not even going to get into that, because what can I say? Yeah, there should be somebody
it's war.
Checking the mentality.
Right.
Well, the war mentality. I mean, we see them come home, we don't even take care of them after they've been out there killing. I mean, what do you think it's like for someone to go out there and spend all that time
on the front every day
lines?
And
then
come home and...
Living minute to minute, and then they come home and everybody's watching TV and videos and... You know,
and they're looking
at the
want ads, looking for a job, and
can't find one.
Oh well.
Yeah, it just shows what a good life we have over here. The baby boomers—they were born two decades after World War II. You just mentioned World War II, and known for their anti-establishment liberalization. in the 1960s. I told you, boomers are always looking for another. This has revitalized the boomers, this thing in New York. They're ready now.
Please tell me you're not identifying with these yahoos in the Occupy movement.
Sort of.
Please don't.
Sort of. I identify with all who try to make changes that are peaceful.
I know, but you
don't like the violence.
You have to be educated enough to know what changes you want.
Well, sometimes you're not educated till you get around a bunch of people who know more than you do.
Well, they're supporting Obama, and he's the one who's caused the.
They're not supporting Obama?
Yes.
No, because even the generation Xers that are grown up now, they're in their 30s and 40s, they're feeling very hard hit by the recession, and they voted for President Obama, a lot of them, but now they say that these Generation Xers are going to be going to the GOP this next time in 2012 because they don't like what happened. And they're entrepreneurial, they're used to unemployment. So, I mean, the Generation Xs are not for Obama, and they're the ones that are going to be voting next year.
So there's some legitimate complaints and legitimate protesters down there in these groups. But there's also a whole bunch of union-sponsored people and troublemakers and people who are running around spray-painting windows.
People always jump on the bandwagon. It's just the way it is.
Maybe we're learning that you can't have a 24-hour